All right, we're studying the gifts of the Spirit as we've been studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This chapter speaks to the utterance gifts, which we're going to be looking at now. We had been looking at the power gifts for many, many weeks. I mean, I could go on and on with that because the work of God is miraculous. There's miracles throughout the Bible. So I'm not necessarily trying to cover every single one, or the study would be just simply on the miracles of God. But now we want to move forward in the utterance gifts, which mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 would be prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So I want to begin with 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." Then verse 12 says, "Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." The word desire in verse 1 is the same word as zealous, zelou, in the Greek. To be zealous, to have an earnest, strong desire which brings forth action with it. He says, follow after charity, which is to pursue it, pursue walking in love, and where it says, but rather that, the word rather in the Greek is more or more so, but the word that here is very significant, because sometimes where you see the word that in English, it's the word in the Greek hina, which means in order that, and that can change how we view a particular scripture. What he's saying here is pursue walking in love and have a yearning, a deep desire, which would fall into the line of hope, in order that you might prophesy. Now, as we look at this with some of the previous verses, which I'll get into somewhat sometime here, but I had shared a message, months and months ago, on the fact that the gifts of the Spirit are activated, and then when the purpose of what that's the need that's to meet or what it's to do, when that's fulfilled, then it's deactivated, much like with a furnace, we have a thermostat set, and when the temperature's above or below, depending if it's set to heat or cool, it will activate the furnace, which has the power to accomplish that desired result of heat or cooling in the room. So as soon as it meets its what it's set for, then it deactivates. You know, a furnace or AC doesn't run continuous, but rather, you know, the thermostat will govern it. So what the governing thing with the gifts is when the objective or the purpose of it at that time is fulfilled, it deactivates. Now, what he's saying, though, is that love is what brings the activation of the gifts, or it's a part of that. Faith, hope, and love all together. So for us, they are constant. The previous verse there, verse 13, chapter 13, says, now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. They are in continuation. So for us, it's not to be our objective to like being a manifestation of a gift nonstop. Sometimes people over-spiritualize things and they draw that conclusion, like they're nonstop in a manifestation of the Spirit. No, what were to be a nonstop continuation is faith, hope, and love. And, of course, that puts a little responsibility on you, and you can't make excuses why you're not forgiving someone or why you're not speaking faith and you're living a life of complaining or negativity and fear. So as we purpose to continue faith, hope, and love, that's the focus. What will happen is the activation of the gifts as we have expectation for that and we're pursuing love. Now, he says at verse 12, seek to excel to the edifying of the church. The purpose of the gifts is never to exalt you, but to edify or build up God's people. And that is, of course, love, what love would do. So we should always be seeking, you know, in our heart, how do I bless people? Now, when we have that mindset, and this is a mindset, how am I a blessing? Or how do I edify, build up? That translates into the practical. In other words, you see a piece of paper on the floor, you don't walk by it every day. Well, it'd be a blessing if somebody picked that up. Now, some people think it'd be a blessing if somebody else picked that up. But when you have the mind for you to be a blessing, you'll pick it up. And you won't be thinking, that's not my job. The heart of a servant will put his hand to what needs to be done right there. Now, some of you, the motivational gift is serving. And when that's strong in someone, you actually need protected from yourself sometimes, because you'll think you have to help do everything to your own hurt. And of course, you can't do that. There are times you have to say no. But there are many times where we could, something as simple as you go in the bathroom, there's a piece of paper towel on the floor, and you see it, are you going to walk out or just pick it up and put it in a can? That's simple. The mindset in continuum of wanting to be a blessing, you will, it becomes very practical where you look at what you can do. In walking in that way, you're positioned for the supernatural or for the spiritual, whichever word you want to use there, you're in a greater position for that because it's your habit. It's how you live. It's how you walk. Now, we do need the desire or expectation along with faith and love, because if you'd have no expectation, well, faith has nothing to act upon. So sometimes there are many in the body of Christ who have no expectation for the Holy Spirit because they're taught not to. Oh, that's done away with. That's not for today. Or you're not spiritual enough, or whatever instruction they've got that's wrong, they actually are taught not to expect. You know, and for some, even to speak about God speaks to you, that in itself can seem like bizarre to them because they're taught, well, you know, if somebody says God's talking to them, they're crazy. Well, that's a good way not to be crazy, is hear the voice of God. So the pursuit of love, blessing, is a key thing in being positioned for the Spirit of God through your life to bring an activation of the gifts. So therefore, we need to make that our pursuit. Now, as we talk about pursuit, generally everyone's pursuing something. For many, they're in pursuit of pleasure. Others are in pursuit of money. Money, 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 money. When your pursuit's money, and that's overall dominates, and I have some bad news to tell you, that's your source. What is your source in reality? You will pursue. You can look at your pursuits in life and see what is the dominant desire, because you will pursue your dominant desire. These two words are linked here in chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after, which is two words in the English. One word in the Greek means pursue. Pursue walking in love. And couple with that a desire, which is sort of somewhat synonymous with hope, expectation, desire, in order that you might prophesy. Now let's read on here, because I want to bring tongues and prophecy together in an understanding. Verse 2 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we see here the gift of tongues. We begin seeing, and I'm going to look at a couple other verses and make it very clear for us, that's a gift for your edification, primarily above everything else. There might be times it's in operation in the church for the church, but only with interpretation. But it is a gift, first and foremost, for you to be edified. It says, with that gift, you're speaking to God. Mysteries, speaking the unknown things to him. where prophecy is speaking to people. Speaking to people. You don't prophesy to God. He would inspire you to speak a word whereby it would benefit and bless people. And if you're blessing people, that's walking in love. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning verse 1 and going up to verse 3, he says there, I don't want you ignorant concerning the gifts. If you're ignorant of something, you're either going to abuse it or not delve into it at all. And he proceeds to say, verse 3, no man can say Jesus is accursed, speaking by the Spirit. No man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And what that's saying is, if we are inspired of the Holy Spirit and his ministry, part of it, John 16, verse 14, is to glorify the Christ. If you're speaking by the Spirit, you're going to glorify Christ. You might say, well, yeah, that seems obvious. Well, a lot of times people will enter into beginning to supposedly speak by the Spirit, but they're exalting themselves, not Christ. Sometimes when people share testimony, they're more exalting themselves than Christ. So we have to be mindful of this, that in judging those things, and the Word tells us to judge prophecy. Why? Because someone could speak and say and imply it's by the Spirit of God, but it's actually out of their head. So you have to judge it. You don't really have to judge a healing. It's obvious. I couldn't walk, now I can walk. That's an obvious thing. You don't really have to judge. We're not told to judge that. It's not necessary. But we are told to judge the prophetic word. And I remember in Smith Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith, the second part, he shared things, or it was recorded. He didn't actually write these things. Others wrote it down. If a person's not willing to have their prophecy judged, and I'm quoting him, it's wrong as surely as they're wrong, or they're wrong as surely as it's wrong. Why is he saying it? Because if you're not speaking out of a spirit of humility, and it's coming out of their own mind, their own flesh. Humility would have such a reverence towards bringing something that would represent God that you would want it judged. But pride says, oh, I can't admit I'm wrong. I can't be wrong. Well, then you have no right to speak. If someone can't admit they're wrong, they have no business talking or speaking in God's behalf. Because of the reality is you could be wrong. So if you're not willing to have it judged, now you'll continue on in that and get puffed up in your own mind. So we're looking at the utterance gifts here. And 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love, desire those gifts in order that you prophesy. We're establishing at the moment when you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. When you prophesy, you're speaking to people. Now, in either case, it's inspired of the Holy Ghost. To prophesy in its most simple definition is to speak by inspiration of God. Now, that doesn't mean you have some message about, you know, the year Jesus is coming back or something like that. Not at all. But just simply to be inspired to speak by the Spirit. He is giving you the words. Now, I'll get into that a little more in a moment. But I want to come back to verse 2 and verse 3 here. Gift of tongues is for you and your edification, primarily. He says he speaks to God, the mysteries of God. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church to build up. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever need build up? How about every day? Your spirit man needs to be edified, strengthened, built up. And God had given us a means whereby we can do that. Now, we can be strengthened by the reading of the word, by the hearing of the word, by the testimony of the Lord coming through someone, but also praying in other tongues. Because what's happening is you are speaking forth the mysteries of God, or the revelation of Christ, speaking that forth. Now, many times when people have not been around a lot of foreign languages and their mind is very dominant more than their spirit, they struggle with the thing with speaking in tongues. But a lot of places I go, the languages I hear, just like completely like, how in the world can that be a language? They understand what they're saying. Most recently, riding down the road, Nigeria, and the two police officers with me, they're of the Hausa tribe. I'm in a region where the Igbo tribe is, and I don't know a word in Igbo, and I don't know a word in Hausa. But they are rattling off talking, and the one guy, he sort of chuckles, and he says, you know what language we're speaking? I said, no. I had a pretty good idea, because I didn't know they were Hausa. And he said, well, we're speaking Hausa, we're Hausa. Well, Ema told me that, so I mean, I already knew that. But I didn't tell them that I knew that. And I don't know if they thought I knew Igbo. Well, actually, they didn't know Igbo. I mean, the only common communication was in English. But it all sounded like nonsense to me. And then I go to India, and then there's Tamil. I might hear Telugu. I'll hear Hindi. In Sri Lanka, I'll hear Sinhalese along with Tamil. You hear these languages, and I think there's no way they can understand it. None of it even seems like it could make sense. And they're rattling off so fast, but you know, they think that about you. What are you talking, boy? You know. So, in speaking in other tongues, it's not going to make sense to your mind because it is another tongue. Okay? So, there may be times where you might speak in another tongue. This would be the very rare exception where those present would hear and it's their language and it would be supernatural sign to them. That was the day of Pentecost. That's happened since. You know, it happened here and there. But that would be a very rare exception. Then a little less of an exception would be a message in tongues for the church. And later on in the chapter, it says that would have to be accompanied with interpretation or no one understands. So we see clearly in Scripture that God gives us that the other tongues to build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, to edify ourselves. And Paul later on said, well, verse 5, he said, I would you all spoke with tongues. And then down at verse 18, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. Okay, so I say that for all the people from the South, you know, that they could sort of feel like, yeah, Jesus walked in the southern states. I speak in tongues more than y'all. Paul's from Georgia. Oh, my. When I was in the airport in Lagos, if you pay some extra money, you can get into a lounge like business class people do. And so there's different Americans coming in, or oil guys, you know, and they're obvious they're from the South. I mean, I can hear, you know, their accent. And I'm sitting there, I'm trying to guess which southern state, you know, because I try to pinpoint accents and stuff. And yeah, I found out then after listening, I couldn't help but listen. They're sitting right across from me. I wasn't like eavesdropping, you know, right in front of me. They were from Georgia, Tennessee, Louisiana. And so I'm trying to pin these accents that I can understand because it's just something how I humor myself when I'm traveling alone. Oh, my. Well, Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, if something was wrong or ungodly or the devil, then Paul's got devils. You see, some people make doctrines conclusively. You know, they'll build something on, well, I think this says this, so this must be this and this and that. And they miss the simple and the obvious. So did Paul have demons or did he have the Spirit of God? That's a pretty simple question to answer. So he speaks of this, that he prays in tongues in a continuum or on an ongoing a part of his life. And he says here, in order that, or, you know, desire spiritual gifts, in order that you can prophesy and build up people, pray in that unknown tongue to edification. Verse 4, he that speaks in the unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Or again, in order that you can build the church. So this, in the plan of God, he gave tongues as a gift to you personal, which helps bring the release of all of the rest of the gifts. So praying in tongues is very, very valuable to us. We're told pursue love, desire the manifestation of the Spirit. But then he's adding to that, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit, because that also is a part of the activation of the gifts. Because you're being strengthened and edified, or even beyond just build up, your spirit is tuning in to the Spirit of God. Now, he says, verse 5, I would you all spoke in tongues, but rather that it's in order that you prophesy. And that, just rather that, or in order that, changes things. Pray in tongues in order that you can speak to people by the Spirit. As we are built up in our spirit, we are in a better position to build up someone else. If you're weak in your spirit, you're not in much of a position to build up someone else. If you're negative in your mind, you're not in a position to speak faith. We have to stay strong and build up, and no one can do that for you. That's one of those we have to take responsibility for, to stay built up. Now, he speaks of prophecy then as speaking to people. And I want at this point pose a thought to you. There is a tendency, a human tendency, to try to relate God to God out of our soul more so than our spirit. So what people will tend to do is try and know God and relate to God out of their emotions, just their own thinking, their own desires, and everything to do with the soul. But particularly with emotion, they want to feel God. So the way they try to relate to the Holy Spirit working in them and wanting to work through them is, I have to feel something. And I've heard people say this over the years. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel the anointing. Well, praise God, sometimes you might. But that's not what constitutes the Spirit of God moving or inspiring you. If you wait for a feeling to begin with, you could be easily misled. Maybe you get indigestion and you think that's the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's a churning. Oh, and you begin to prophesy that God's an angry God because you feel upset in your stomach. Well, maybe, you know, you just take some Roids or something. You know, just when we speak by the Spirit, it's going to be exalting Christ. It's going to be edifying people, exhorting them on in the will of God, exhorting them to walk in His Word, the comfort of the presence of God being ministered as well. And that's all what it's saying there in verse 3. Prophesy would begin to minister like that. I remember years ago there was a brother in the church, and he had a tendency to prophesy, and he'd start out good, but always end up this certain place that God's mad at you. And yeah, that was reported to me. We had home groups then. I went and it went to that group like three times, sat, saw the same thing three different times. And he'd always end up, God's angry at you. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. The reality was he had anger. He had a lack of long suffering towards God's people and had expectations. So I, you know, pulled him aside and said, brother, you know, I really appreciate you, your consecration to the Lord, your service to the Lord. But I have to bring some correction here. You begin prophesying right, but you end up over here wrong. you end up just speaking what you think in the abundance of your heart, which a person can't help but do. If you don't have really control in a sense of your thoughts and your heart, a person has no business stepping out to prophesy, because ultimately that's going to come out. See, in preaching, I have to keep my heart right and pure and in faith, hope, and love, or whatever's negative, that's going to come out into it. It just be purely a matter of time. Some people might try to only, position, they only say the things they planned in the right words, but you begin speaking by inspiration, the abundance of the heart's going to come out. So it better be pure. It better be right. It better be judged. And we want to develop the habit of taking every thought captive and judging everything in this life. Judge not, Pastor Bill. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, spiritual man judges all things, or discerns of what spirit it is, so you know what to do with it. You don't just take everything, accept everything. We have to judge it. We know whether, okay, I receive this or I don't. So, in speaking by the Spirit to people, it's going to build them up. It's going to exalt Christ. As we're built up, then we can speak forth and build up others. Now, what I was beginning to say a few minutes ago, many times people try to relate things of God to an emotional feeling. That is an incorrect approach. It's a dangerous approach, because ultimately your feelings, you can be led astray or into error. So that being said, speaking by the Spirit, you don't have to draw attention to it and change your voice. Oh, thus saith the Lord. Now, maybe there's times he might have someone do that, okay? I'm not saying anyone who's ever done that's wrong. But a lot of times people feel they have to bring something with it to command people to receive or to bring more authority. Jesus, when he taught Matthew chapter 5 to 7, the Beatitudes, all that Sermon on the Mount, it says they marveled, he spoke with authority. That doesn't mean he changed his voice. His words had power. There was conviction power in them. There was authority. He spoke the truth because he knew the truth. He wasn't trying to sell them something, convince them of something. He spoke. The Holy Ghost convinces. Well, what I'm getting at is we can be speaking by the Spirit, and there's not necessarily attention drawn like, oh, this is some thing. I find for myself, more and more in my life, I'm experiencing this just in conversation. I just begin to speak a certain thing, and it's right to what that person needs to hear. God can do the same thing with you. Just in conversation. You see, again, people, they compartmentalize this. Oh, at church you do this. It's because of that setting and environment. Well, it may happen there. But the idea of God's that we can all pray in the Holy Ghost, be built up in our spirit, man, and we can speak out of that. We can speak to other people encouragement, build them up, or comfort. So there's times you get in situations, someone tells, problems, something's troubling them, and you don't necessarily know what to say. But God gives you something. You might even think, why did I say that? But for them, sometimes people will tell you, I'm so glad you said that. That just speaks exactly to what I need to hear. Many times people might tell you that, but sometimes maybe they don't. And you think, I think I blew it. I didn't say the right thing. Our expectation needs to be on the Holy Spirit to give us the words to speak in any setting, in any situation. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When people want to make it like an emotion and dramatic, many times the motivation that's even drawing attention to themselves, make it all dramatic. It doesn't have to be dramatic. If it's of God and someone receives it as such, that's up to him to cause someone to say, "Yeah, Spirit of God speaking to me through you." So my expectation, realm of prophecy, much more so on a one-to-one level than in a church. If people equate, a service wasn't successful unless there's prophecy, well, now you're set up to push. And a lot of so-called Spirit-filled churches, they're just pushing. And literally, they might have prayer line push you down because, we have to feel like God's here. Well, he's here when you walked in the door. He lives in you. He lives in me. He's here when we gather together in his name. We don't have to try to feel that or somehow convince ourselves of that. But many people fall into these things. So, I want to create understanding in that. Now, in sharing on the gifts, I say it almost every week, and usually end up prayer relative to that, is that for our expectation to increase. And again, those gifts are for whatever's needed. Whatever's needed, if someone has a physical ailment and the needs for healing, well, that. We have expectation for that. Most people need build up every day, take responsibility, build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. But many, many times, the Spirit of God's using us to strengthen one another in our spirit man. And that's supernatural. Sometimes people, when they think of supernatural, it has to be like a miracle, something dramatic, something spectacular. I think it was Ed Cole said, if you look for God only in the spectacular, you'll miss the supernatural. That was something that he used to say. Well, praise God when there's something spectacular, but we don't live day to day in the spectacular, the dramatic. Those things may be occurrences in our life at times. But the consistency of the Christian walks to be in faith, hope, and love. And out of that will come blessing and edifying people around you. So again, we don't have to draw attention to ourselves. You just speak inspired of the Holy Ghost. That is prophecy. When I was just in Nigeria, in the time of ministry there, and a lot of times when I go some other places, it becomes more prophetic than just like teaching. I'll start out teaching, but go off into, I just begin to say things. That's exactly what's happening. And Brother Ema and Brother Israel do the same thing, said in front of all of them, I didn't tell Brother B you anything. And it was repeatedly, but there'd be times I'd be one-on-one with people. We'd just having lunch and fellowshipping. And that same thing would be working. Just begin to speak truth of the word. And it's exactly right on. Well, that's just as enjoyable for me as where that's going to a larger number of people. Jesus stopped and spoke to the woman at the well, which was even cross-cultural, because she wasn't one of them. And he was just as concerned about the individual as the whole group. When I have guests in, I always will try to set some time where I can take them out to eat and just try to hear what the Spirit of God's saying to them or doing in them or draw whatever I can from them. But I've determined if they're not interested in imparting to me, they're really not interested in you, unless they're kind of novices and ignorant, because whoever's in authority is releasing that truth to the people. It's like when I go to Nigeria, I'm mostly speaking to the whole leadership, and the ministry is so large, it's hundreds of people, the leadership. And they'll say, well, what you spoke's going to reach everyone in our whole ministry because you spoke to the leaders. So have expectation for the Spirit of God. I think because people associate emotion and drama, and it has to be some spectacular thing with that, they miss the supernatural. And if we don't have expectation and the pursuit of love to edify, we'll miss that just in the one-to-one interactions in our life and just not really expect it. So we want to be looking for or listening for the Spirit of God. We want to expect Him to use us. But our responsibility is pursue love, because if you're not in the love vein, you're not really going to hear Him, at least not with any consistency. So as we look at these verses, just reviewing a few things, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, in order that you can prophesy, which he goes on to say, speaking to people, edification, exhortation, comfort. So we can build people up. Pray in tongues. You speak to God. And you build yourself up. We go down here. He begins speaking some things about speaking in the church. And down at verse 12, the exhortation comes, be zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Now, verse 13, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that, or in order that he might interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's giving the words to your spirit. My understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I'll pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. He goes on to say then that, you know, when we're with other people, we should pray in the understanding so they can be in agreement with us. But notice he speaks of praying in the spirit and praying in the unknown tongue in the same sentence here. Verse 13, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray he might interpret. So there's we enter into praying in the spirit. We should be releasing faith that as we're praying, he's giving us those words. We're speaking and declaring certain things, especially in prayer. When you connect this with Romans 8:26, we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helps us. He's our intercessor, our helper in prayer, giving us the words. But to pray that we would interpret, or we would have it would come to our understanding what we're praying. Now that might be in a picture. It might be a word, like a word of knowledge or a picture. But to pray, we would have understanding of what we're praying for ourselves. Brother Oral Roberts had revelation of this, and that is in one of his books. That was a big revelation of his. Pray in the Spirit, believe for the interpretation. And things of this nature, we have to see in the Word like this and begin to allow faith to rise in our heart from the Word to believe for that. You know, you don't just go off out of your own mind and then be imagining things. It's always a little scary to me when someone's conveying like they're having visions every day, because a person can easily begin to call whatever they imagine a vision from God. That's not a vision from a God. That's your imagination. Our soul needs to be sanctified. But if God does give you something like that, you know, we recognize this is the Spirit of God showing me. We judge it by the Word. You know, like I'm not very impressed when someone, well, I had a vision. I was flying through the air on a pink elephant, and it was raining cats and dogs. I mean, you probably had too much pizza and ice cream. I mean, God's not dealing with this like that. Maybe in a rare case, maybe. But if that's what someone's calling visions and dreams, and there's nothing specific in terms of an action in God, not trying to manufacture some interpretation, I don't think it's Him. And a lot of people get off on these things because they don't learn to discern the Spirit and to judge all things. So by abiding in the Word, we have the means whereby we can, and then looking for the witness of the Spirit. Sometimes some things supernatural give your mind fits. Your mind says, I don't know about this, but it could be Him. But some things are obviously contrary to the Word. Well, we want to have expectation that as we pray in other tongues, that we would see in our spirit or know in our spirit the thing we're praying about. That way your understanding can join in with, you know, the faith being released praying in the spirit. That's to our benefit. That's to our benefit. So we're looking at the utterance gifts and these two in combination here with tongues and prophecy, because they are written of, spoken of here in combination. So I think it behooves us to begin looking at them in combination with one another. Again, Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. I would that y'all spoke in tongues. But unto the desired result, or in order that, your position to begin to speak to people. Not just from your head, but by your spirit. Now, you can try to tell people things, and they're not really hearing. But you speak by the spirit, and it's putting the finger right exactly on whatever's going on. And there's no drama to it. You know, they're thinking, who told you? How'd you know that? Or, you know, they're thinking things like that. Or somebody, you know, unsaved, you know, getting goosebumps and everything where, oh, you know, you're speaking exactly to my life. Well, God will do that as a sign to the unbeliever, but to the believer to edify them, to exhort them, to comfort them. So again, as we pursue love, we enter into that. And I'll, I have a couple minutes yet. Back in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, charity never fails. That word speaking of fall from its place of being the very core of the life of God. Whether there's prophecies, they'll fail. It's not like fail like you think. They will be brought forth and then rendered inactive. The word knowledge will vanish away is inactive, be rendered inactive. When that which is, verse 10, in part shall be done away, it's rendered inactive because the intent of it was complete. But where it says, where there's tongues, they'll cease. In the Greek, it's the word pause, where we get our word pause. 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 When something's paused, by an act of your will, you discontinue, and then you can take the pause button off and continue again. And what that shows is there's an ongoing potential for praying in tongues or praying in the spirit, and you can start and stop that at your will. At your will, you don't make any of the other gifts operate. But from this, to me, it's very clear. It's at your will you can begin to pray in the spirit, and then you stop. You can't do that continuous because there's other things you have to do with your mind and your mouth besides that. But we can, as we purpose to build ourselves up, we can activate and just begin to pray in the spirit. And then stop. In doing so, we may venture into intercession for others. But you can just pray in the spirit, just build yourself up. Again, that's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. You edify yourself. You build up yourself. That's a good thing. For anyone to say, like, that's a bad thing, oh, that's selfish. Man, that's foolishness. You don't want to be strong. You don't want to be built up. So it's good for us, but we want to do it in faith, believing that what the word says. Lord, as I'm praying in the spirit, I am stirring up the gift of God within me. I am building myself up in the Holy Ghost on my most holy faith. And to speak that as you're going to enter into it, releasing faith that what God said is actually going to be. We don't just do those things religiously. We do them in continuum or with regularity, but we do it in faith according to the word. Lord, I expect to be built up as I enter into prayer right now. I'm again praying in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I ask that also you begin to show me interpretation or to show me the very thing even I'm praying about.